Morning, everyone. Oh, I've got the wrong glasses on. Welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or visitor. Our service will be led by Alistair Campbell, and we are grateful to Alistair for taking our services last week and today. Gift Day. A very big thank you to everyone who has already given our annual Gift Day. The total is currently more than £1,280, and we estimate Gift Aid will add another £200. It is possible to make a donation. The church bank details appear in the full intimation sheet. Blythewood Care Shoebox Appeal. You can help by filling a shoebox with items from the list provided, donate items from the list, which we will use to fill shoeboxes, give a donation of money for transport costs, provide an empty shoebox. There is a box in the vestibule for donations, or contact Elaine on 881 713 if you need items collected. Hats, scarves and gloves suitable for the shoebox appeal, £7 per set, are available in the Irene Patterson room. And donations are required by next Sunday, the 30th of October. Thanks. This year's craft fair will take place in the church on Saturday, the 5th of November, between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Lots of local stallholders will attend. Donations of craft and small gift items for the church stall will be appreciated. Please bring these to church today or next Sunday, 30th of October, or contact Dorothy Downey on 81379 or Margaret White on 269355 to arrange uplift. And finally, the Kirk session will meet this Thursday, 27th October at 7:30 p.m. in the church. And here is a quick look at the order of service. Thank you.
Good morning. Morning. Good to be here together once again to join in worship. After Jesus was resurrected, he appeared to his disciples, but Thomas wasn't there. And he came back again a week later, and he was there, and he saw Thomas and said to Thomas, to look at my hands, see the marks of my side, stop doubting and believe. And Thomas replied, my Lord and my God. So let's worship indeed our Lord and our God, as we sing hymn 110, Glory Be to God the Father.
Glory be to God the Father.
Let us now dedicate our offering. Let us pray. Out of your providing, Lord, we make this offering brought from our daily living. Sanctify your gift and bless a life from which it comes, that with a cheerful spirit and an ungrudging heart, we may be devoted to your service. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Rosemary will lead us in prayer. Thank you.
The prayers this morning are based on resources from within the Church of Scotland's website. Let us pray. Loving God of our whole world, open our hearts to your presence, touch us with your loving hand, and bring peace to us and between us. God of the ordinary and the extraordinary, in a world where money counts, where awful things happen, where power is abused, it is hard to sing you praise for the many blessings we have. But we persist because you have promised to care for the humble, to love us in our confusion, to come to meet us in the silence, or in the surprising moment of joy, or the quiet comfort of friendship. With your church around the world this morning, we join our voices together in praise and keep our silence in thought and in prayer. Forgive us for the times this week when we have not done so well, when we've struggled to say the right thing or to go the extra mile, when we may have looked arrogantly and judgmentally at others and have forgotten to open our souls to your gaze, as we take a moment now to bring to you our own personal thoughts and confession. Merciful Father, help us to hope and to share your love with all around us, as we join together now in saying the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
So let's continue. Echo. Let's continue our service by singing hymn number 493. It's me, O Lord. 493.
Thank you.
short story by J. John. Now you have to listen carefully. There's two men, there's a first man and a second man, so listen as we go along. There's a man at an airport and he wanted to buy a bag of small donuts and a coffee. He bought his donuts and his coffee and was looking for somewhere to sit, but all the tables were taken. There was one table where there was just one man sitting, so he thinks, I'll go and sit opposite him. He puts his coffee and bags down on the table, takes off his coat and sits on the chair. He takes the lid off the coffee cup and takes a sip. He picks up the bag of donuts and takes one out, and then puts the other donuts in the bag back on the table. The second man, sitting opposite him, stretches over, picks up the bag of donuts, takes one out and starts eating it, and then puts the bag back down and smiles. Another man can't believe it. I cannot believe he's just stolen one of my donuts, he thinks. He's so amazed that he is dumbstruck and decides he'd better not say anything in case the man gets a bit violent. Anyway, the first man, he picks up the bag, takes out another donut and moves it nearer to his coffee and as far away from the second man as he can. However, the second man then stretches over, picks up the bag of donuts and takes out another one and puts the bag back down on the table and smiles again. The first man just can't believe that the second man has just picked two of his donuts. He thinks to himself, what is the world coming to? Can you believe it? He's really angry. Anyway, the first man picks up the bag, takes out another donut, puts it again close to his coffee. The second man then gets up to leave. The first man, still sitting at the table, thinks, it's about time you left, you donut thief. The second man puts on his coat, picks up his bag and then stretches over and takes out the one last donut left in the bag, breaks it in half, puts half in his mouth, half in the bag, puts the bag on the table, smiles and waves, and off he goes. The other man thinks, I'm not going to touch that donut. I can't believe what the world is coming to. Anyhow, he looks at his watch and thinks, oh, it's time for me to go too. So he gets up, puts on his coat, bends down to pick up his bag, and sitting on top of his bag was his bag of donuts. Rob is going to read to us this morning.
This morning's first reading is from the Old Testament, the book of Joel, and it's chapter 2 from verse 23, and it's entitled, The Day of the Lord. Be glad, people of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains because he is faithful. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain, the vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust, the other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I send among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. The second reading is from the New Testament, Book of Luke, chapter 18, from verse 9, and entitled The Pharisee and the Tax Collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Let's continue by singing hymn number 553, Just As I Am, 553. As we can perhaps tell from the cookie snatcher, the donut thief, or the man who had his donuts, or he thought he had his donuts pinched, sometimes when we judge or condemn others, we end up judging or condemning ourselves. A few questions for you this morning to think about. When do you pray? I don't know if you remember, the advert used to be on television a lot of years ago. I think it was the days when they still advertised alcohol. might remember the advert for Martini. I can't remember how the jungle all went, but it was, you know, any place, any time, it's Martini. Well, any time, any place, anywhere, you can pray. Not restricted to Sunday worship, of course, or the weekly prayer meeting, if there was one here, isn't. But for the Jews, there were daily scheduled periods of prayer in the temple. They were connected to the morning and evening sacrifices. And so as we read in the parable, the two men went up to the temple to pray. And certainly not together, as is confirmed by the fact that the tax collector stood at a distance. Something that we had to perhaps try and get used to in the past couple of years, standing at a 2 metre distance from everybody else. But I don't think it was coronavirus that was in their context or circumstances. But we don't know whether the temple was busy or if it was a quieter time of day. Perhaps the Pharisee would have enjoyed having a large audience. Maybe the tax collector preferred to be lost in the crowd. Whether it's a particular attitude or particular personality, we can fall into either of these two camps. We can be the life and soul of the party, centre of attention, church included, or preferring the sidelines, working quietly away in the background, unassuming. However, prayer is not the point of this parable. How often do you fast? The Pharisee fasted 2 days a week. Under the Mosaic law, there was no commandment to fast except on the Day of Atonement. However, as part of their rigorous lifestyles, the Pharisees also fasted on Mondays and Thursdays. And this was in stark contrast to Jesus and his disciples, who often went to banquets, etc. Remember, Jesus was accused of being a glutton and a wine drinker. Just as Jesus warned against ostentatiousness in prayer, so he also rejected legalistic fasting purely for display, and trying to impress others with one's piety. However, fasting is not the point of this parable. How much do you give? The Pharisee tithed not merely what he earned, but a tithe of all that he acquired. Obviously, I don't know if you put in 1/10 of your income into the offering plate. And is that 10%? Is that gross or is it net after you've taken all the other bits and pieces out? We have to decide in our hearts how much to give. However, God loves a cheerful giver, and he'd prefer us to put a pound in the offering plate than put in a pound cheerfully than put in £10 grudgingly. It's interesting in this parable, there are three things Jesus talks about: praying, fasting, and giving. But these are not the purpose of this parable. So what is? Do you compare yourself with others? Perhaps we all do in a way, maybe either consciously or unconsciously. But there are two ways of comparing ourselves, and one is feeling superior, the other is feeling inferior, inadequate. Do you try to build your own self-esteem by looking down on others, making yourself look good in order to make also making others look bad in order to make yourself look good? Remember the old saying, pride comes before a fall. You risk a lonely life because no one wants to be friends with someone who always finds fault with others, especially in order to feel good about themselves. Ever been in company where people are talking about or being talked about negatively? You go away thinking, I wonder what they're saying about me. Because there's a difference between airing a genuine concern about someone in confidence with a trusted friend and criticising someone to every person you meet. That's gossip. And a good rule is that if you can't say anything good about someone, don't say anything. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Tax collectors were as popular then as they are now. In fact, they were even lower down the scale than robbers, evildoers, and adulterers. Whatever you may think about this Pharisee, there is no hint that it was hypocritical. It's virtually certain that he did everything mentioned. For example, fasting twice a week in excess of what the law demanded. The trouble is the Pharisee prayed to or with himself. He maybe didn't even realise he was doing it. He prayed simply to give himself a pat on the back. He went to the temple to tell God how good a person he was. Two things we can say about prayer. Firstly, that no one who is proud can pray. Well, at least God might not be listening. Pride is one of these words that has a broad meaning, but in church circles it can sometimes be funny about pride. Pride in the sense there's nothing wrong with job satisfaction, for example, a sense of achievement, but we're not talking about smug satisfaction. There's a sense of you've done a job well, you've taken pride in your work, and you can look back and say, yeah, that worked well. Nothing wrong with that. If you've achieved some goal, give God the glory. Thank him that he has enabled you. A second thing we can say is that no one who despises others can pray. Remember, we say, forgive us as we also have been forgiven. Despise is a strong word. An antidote to criticising someone is to pray for them. Let God be the judge of their character, not you. So like a training video that shows a way not to do something, we turn to look at the proper way. We turn from the Pharisee to the tax collector. In contrast to the Pharisee, who basically looked to his own good points, the second man looked to God in order to see himself properly. Yet he could find nothing within himself to feel proud of. Have mercy on me, a sinner. The tax collector considered himself not just any sinner, but the worst of sinners, a bit like the Apostle Paul thought of himself. He bared his soul and he didn't like what he saw. His sin was exposed, openly admitting his misery. Unlike the Pharisee, exposing his many virtues to God and thanking him. The tax collector's admission of his sinfulness did not cause God to despise him, but instead brought forgiveness and restoration. And this is a prayer that God heard. And the point being made in Jesus' parable is quite simple, really. Humility leads to mercy and forgiveness. This man was justified before God. God reckoned him to be righteous. His sins were forgiven, and he was credited with God's righteousness, not his own, for example, like the Pharisee's self-righteousness. Perhaps we can make a third point about prayer, actually. True prayer means setting our lives alongside God's standards for living. Human standards vary. God's standards are absolute. It all depends upon who we compare ourselves with. The themes of self-exaltation and humility are also addressed by Joel. The prophet is addressing the sin of God's people Israel. In Old Testament times, prophets were lower down the scales than even tax collectors. And Joel calls for the nation to turn to God and plead for mercy, as you can read earlier on in the passage, before our passage this morning, earlier on in the chapter. So in response to, if the nation did turn to God and plead for mercy, God promises to restore abundantly all that the locusts have robbed them of. He will rid the land of this great army. And the army of locusts is used as a picture of all God's enemies. God worked wonders for the people when they were in Egypt, and will work wonders again, restoring the devastated land. God says that afterwards I will put out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. All will participate, regardless of age, sex, or rank. No wonder prophets weren't popular. Not only confronting the nation's sin, but foreseeing a day when God's Spirit would be poured out on all ordinary people, not just priests and prophets, but in sons and daughters, young men and old, men and women. God's judgment awaits all among the nations who refuse his call, warns Joel. But all who worship him, pray to him, and who call out to him will escape. They will be delivered from the wrath of God's judgment. The church today also needs to hear God's message given through Joel. It remains true that God chastens those whom he loves, but he yet, or will yet, exalt his name among the nations. In this great prophecy of God about his Spirit being poured out, it would be fulfilled at Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit came with great power and inaugurated the public ministry and the preaching of the church. And whether it's ancient Israel, tax collectors, or us, the prayer God hears is, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God's holiness demands punishment for our sin. God, therefore, out of love, sent his Son to atone for our sin. Jesus became our substitute, taking our place on the cross. In this way, the Father's wrath has been satisfied, appeased, or to use a more accurate theological term, propitiated. In other words, his wrath against our sin has been turned away and directed against Christ. Forgiveness through Christ's suffering is not limited to one particular group, either Gentiles or Jews. The offer of salvation is for the whole world. However, it must be received by faith. And so, it is all rooted in God's grace and initiative. Yet our salvation requires a response. And like the Pharisee, the tax collector didn't plead his own good works, but he pleaded the mercy of God in forgiving his sins. And so should we. Amen. So we come to our prayers for others, led by Rosemary.
Let us pray. Loving God, we pray for our world, for all the millions of people whom you know, though we do not. We are blessed that we can worship in peace and safety, and we bring to you all who cannot do the same. Where they are persecuted, let them find courage to continue in faithful service, knowing that you will never leave them. Eternal Father, give comfort and strength to all who try to make peace and bring justice in our world, and who try to turn the hearts and minds of those who work against them to good and away from evil. We continue to pray for Ukraine and to constantly hold its people in our hearts as Russia enforces its current mission in targeting Ukraine's energy grid infrastructure. Merciful God, we pray for all victims of war and violence. We pray for all who suffer when people put their faith in weapons and war. And we pray for the multitudes in every country who are ready to walk the road of peace. We pray for our own government, especially at this time, when wise and stable leadership is so much needed. Help them to see what is immediate in supporting all who are vulnerable, all who are in poverty and in desperate need. We pray that they will know where they can turn to for help. And we bring to you all the food banks, agencies and voluntary organisations who are working tirelessly in providing essential support in such challenging times. Heavenly Father, we bring to you our own communities and we pray for those who are ill or in need at this time, whether at home, in hospital or hospice, and for all who are awaiting consultations and treatment. We bring to you the elderly, all who are housebound or in care, and we pray too for all who minister to their needs from within the family and from care, social and health services. Let their care be as a continuation of that shown by Jesus who responded to the needs of all. We pray for those whose hearts have been saddened by the death of someone close and dear to them. Give to them the strong comfort which no one else can give, and let them know the comforting power of the resurrection of Jesus. Comfort and sustain all who are in need of your grace. And as we now share a moment of silence together, we bring before you those known to ourselves as we name them in our hearts. God of light and love, you created us for both joy and suffering. You came into the world as our brother and saviour. You abide with us in the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Be with us in our speaking and our thinking. Be with us in our hearts and souls, today and always. In Jesus' name, Amen.
We sing our final hymn this morning, which is 622. We sing a love that sets all people free.
Thank you.
bless you and take care of you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look on you with favour and give you peace.